Good evening. Thank you for joining me. Sitting in for George Norrie, I am Dave Schrader, and if you like the paranormal and the supernatural, you can join me Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time as we explore ghosts, monsters, myths, legends, and more. You can find out information and join our live chat room while I'm hosting Coast to Coast tonight as well by going to darknessradio.com. It's right on our front page. We'd love for you to stop by and then keep your dial tuned right there at darknessradio.com Monday through Friday. As soon as our show rolls up, you can continue streaming and hear George Norrie in Coast to Coast as he continues on your journey into the strange. This evening, our guest, Michael Luckman. He is the world's leading expert on celebrities and their UFO paranormal experiences. He is a disciple of Planet X author Zachariah Sitchin, and he has studied ancient Sumerian, Mayan, and Egyptian cultures and has had the privilege of interviewing Don Thomas Calvo, the Mayan Pope, and other Mayan leaders from the Yucatan and Guatemala. His first book, Alien Rock, The Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection. That's what we're talking about tonight. Let's talk about John Lennon, Michael. I mean, this is a guy who, in the song we were just listening to, references there's UFOs over New York, and he claims to have had a few different UFO encounters. Talk to us a little bit about his story.
Well, I'd be happy to. First, though, I know that some very well-known rock stars listen regularly to Coast to Coast. So if you are a rock star, or a musician for that matter, and you have a story to tell, please contact me. You can send me an email at Nebula, N-E-B-U-L-A, 2002, at AOL.com. That's Nebula, N-E-B-U-L-A, 2002, at AOL.com. John Lennon had one sighting with when he was in the company of May Pang, his former girlfriend. She was his girlfriend at the time when he was living apart from Yoko Ono, and they sighted a craft that was quite large, several hundred feet in diameter, with lights around it, around the perimeter, and a red light on top. It was a cone-shaped object. They saw it from the roof from the penthouse story of the building, and John went out on the roof, and he said that, according to May, that he could have thrown a stone at it and hit it. And he took pictures. Unfortunately, they didn't show up. There was no image that showed up on the pictures. But he was very intent on finding out what actually had happened. He called the newspapers. He didn't give his name, but he called the newspapers. There had been reports or other witnesses that had seen lights and moving object. He called the police department. There were reports there to the police department as well. So that's a confirmed a case that happened with John Lennon. Now, there's another story which is, on the surface, a more interesting story. However, I have to tell you that I've investigated this thoroughly, and I've now found that the story was made up. This has to do with Uri Geller, the well-known psychic who now lives in England. Uri claimed that John and Uri were close friends. And Uri, for a while, lived not far from the Dakota Apartments here in New York City. Uri claimed that John one day, I think about 3 months before his death, gave him as a present a small, round, oval-shaped metallic object, like egg-shaped object, and told him that he was given this. He didn't know for what purpose, by aliens who had come into his apartment while Yoko was asleep. And, you know, it's a wild story. And Uri has changed his story completely twice. At first, his first telling of the story where he wrote in UFO Encounters, Uri Geller's Encounters magazine many years ago, he told the story of friendly aliens coming in. Then they became irascible aliens in the retelling of the story. Furthermore, he didn't really tell the full thing. He had Uri showed a record producer two egg-shaped objects, not just one, prior to releasing the story to the British tabloids. So there were two objects. For some reason, he decided only to announce that there was one object. And And it turns out, most importantly, the object, that little egg-shaped object, is actually a magic piece that's been available for years from an outfit in Denmark. I've seen pictures of it, and it's the exact same object. So Yuri's credibility has just gone right down the tubes. I do believe, however, that Yuri does have legitimate psychic powers. But in this case, he overplayed his card, and Yuri has, you know, egg all over his face.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about an article that just broke over the last week, talking about the fact that there may have been dark alien influence in the death of one of the world's most famous musicians. Is this true? How could it be true? Stay tuned. Michael C. Luckman, our guest, will explain more on Coast to Coast AM. Michael Luckman, our guest this evening, Alien Rock, the Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection. That's what we're talking about this evening on Coast to Coast AM. We'll open up phone lines here in a few minutes and allow you to ask questions and interact with our guest. I'm just curious, before we go too much further in this next part of the story, with your research, how forthcoming are these celebrities to you to share their stories? Or are you gaining some of these stories on online and internet-related, you know, past information? You know what I'm asking? I mean, are we verifying this, or is this just urban legend and rock and roll lore?
Yeah, you know, it's not urban legend. There's an awful lot of urban legend around, and it's not just stuff that's on the internet, because we all know we can't trust much of the information on the internet. Some of it you can. The challenge is to figure out what you can trust, what reports you can trust, and what ones you can't. No, most of my information has come directly either from rock stars themselves or their associates. In some cases, from their wives or former wives, and as well as people in the music industry, producers, record producers, people like that.
All right, so let's talk about this article that was released. And I know you're working on a new book where you're talking more about the extraterrestrial celebrity connections. And in this new article, you talk very extensively about the fact that you believe that one of rock and roll's royalty may have been killed due to a dark alien influence. So I'm going to step back and allow you to share the story and why you believe this to be true, and tell our guests which celebrity you believe was killed because of this.
Well, we're talking about John Lennon, and here's what happened with Lennon. John had a being, you can call it that, or you can call it a force. I refer to these things as extraterrestrial musical forces, but they could be interdimensional. Some kind of a force that was responsible for his writing many of his hits. Now, I know some fans aren't going to go for this so quickly, but believe me, he said it a lot of times. In fact, he told a friend of mine, the surf guitar god Merle Fankhauser, who's been in this business for a very long time, he told him at Harry Nilsson's helm, how this phenomenon happened of automatic writing, where suddenly a song would be in his head, and he didn't feel that it came from him at all. He also talked about his mind being inhabited by being a hollow temple and being inhabited by spirits. A spirit would come in, and then the spirit would leave for a time to be replaced by another spirit. And he referred to these spirits, or at least one of his spirits, as a female muse. And he was upset that at the time when the muse disappeared, it was a period, I believe, of about 3 years, that his songwriting ability just almost disappeared. So he was very much reliant on this muse, or these extraterrestrial musical forces, or these interdimensional forces, to create his music. And we all know that his music was about peace and love. So it was a very positive message. There's no question about that these are positive forces. Now, Mark David Chapman, after he assassinated John Lennon, told the police that he heard a voice in his head and that voice basically instructed him to kill John Lennon. It's my theory that that whoever was talking to Mark David Chapman's ear, I believe it actually happened, was a dark or a negative force or entity, call it what you will, that wanted to stop John Lennon from becoming even more powerful and was opposed to his message and wanted to put an end to it. That's what I think happened.
Now, I know from what we've heard on guests from Coast to Coast AM and on Darkness Radio, many of the people that claim to have connection with the alien races say that when the aliens feel that we're at a place of peace and understanding and are coming together as opposed to being diametrically opposed and battling and warlike, that's when the alien interference will become well known. That's when they'll make themselves revealed. And are you kind of pontificating the fact that because John Lennon was a force for peace and good, he was getting interdimensional, transdimensional information downloaded to inspire songs of peace and love, and that the dark alien interference was what wanted to snip that and kill it?
Yeah, let me put an even a broader framework. What I think is happening from my research, and my new book is going to go into this extensively. What I think is happening is that there is a battle of light and dark forces, a classic battle happening in the realm of rock and roll, and it's a battle literally for the soul of rock and roll. Now, you know, clearly, whatever that force was or whatever that voice was in Mark David Chapman's head, it had to be demonic. And I believe that it's just very clear to me, and I don't want to sound like a right-wing Christian fundamentalist, because they put words in people's mouths and they don't play the game fairly. But I absolutely believe that that many of, not all, but many of the heavy metal groups have this demonic influence, and they're giving out a very dark message. And when people, throw the horns, which is very common at these rock concerts, particularly the heavy metal concerts, even though some people may be putting up their hand and showing that sign, flashing that sign in rebellion, I think that there's something much more significant happening here and being played out. And I think it's being played out at a very interesting time, because if I'm right about Planet X, and that Planet X is coming closer to Earth, and it's clear to me that with all these meteors and asteroids and comets that are coming our way, Zechariah Sitchin always said that there would be a debris field that would proceed and also be part of the movement of Planet X. We have never had this number of meteors, comets, and asteroids in our lifetime. And the increase, according to the American Meteorological Society, is about 20 or 25%. That's an amazing increase. And, of course, the Earth is being ripped asunder in every way. I mean, all kinds of environmental disasters worldwide, only getting worse by the minute. So I think that this negative and positive thing that's being played out in the music industry is very profound. And I think that ultimately it's a battle for the soul of rock and roll.
Isn't that always the way it is? And the battle for the soul of rock and roll. John Lennon, was he murdered because of dark alien interference? We're going to open up phone lines in the next half an hour. You can call in and talk with our guest. And if you have questions, Michael Luckman will be here with us for the next half an hour. We'll take those calls. Quite a few different responses on my Facebook pages, Twitter comments, private emails, people leading the question wanting to know, all right, we've heard about the men of rock and roll. What about the women of rock and roll? Have there been any women that have come forward regarding UFOs and experiences?
Well, there have been some. Surprisingly, there have not really been that many. By the way, Joan Baez is one of the musicians who talks about this phenomenon of extraterrestrial musical forces. She doesn't name it that, but it's what it amounts to. She talks about not knowing where. She said some of her greatest songs were written automatically. That process, the same process that John Lennon experienced. Madonna says the same thing. And on and on. I mean, you look around, Keith Richards, all kinds of musicians.
Well, I know Jimmy Page. Yeah, Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin.
Absolutely.
Many musicians and writers and painters and artists have come forward saying that they feel the same way, that something just takes them over for that moment. But do you believe that it's truly alien interference, or is it could it be a spiritual connection? They're allowing themselves to be open to the universe, to whatever creative force runs the galaxy, the planets, the world.
Yeah, well, it's actually, you know, it's extraterrestrial and/or interdimensional, and you know, that's what's happening now. Now, people ask, well, why rock stars? I mean, I think other people are getting this too. Basically, there was a study that was just been, the results were just released by a team of scientists in Belgium. This is very important. The result is, the conclusion is that creative people's brains are literally wired differently than everyone else. And that's why they're able to receive these messages from wherever they're coming. And I believe it's extraterrestrial or interdimensional. It could be spiritual, very much so.
All right, we're going to take a break here in a few seconds, and we'll come back and wrap up with our guest, Michael Luckman. Phone lines are going to be opened up if you have questions for our guest. We'll also find out some more of the celebrity alien interaction, and you might be surprised on a few more of the cases that we have to share with you this evening. I'm filling in for George Norrie. My name is Dave Schrader. Go check out my website, darknessradio.com, and if you're intrigued and interested in the supernatural and paranormal, there's plenty of information there for you to check out. I do want to know, before we go to the break here, Michael, we've got about a minute and a half left. You said there's a few of the women that have come forward, not as big a deal. Why do you think men are more the focus of the alien interaction over the women? You see, women seem so much more open and spiritual that they should have a much better connection.
Yeah, you're right, and I haven't found the answer to that one yet. I haven't. By the way, one woman who's listening into tonight's show is a friend, and fan of my book, Jacqueline Stallone, Sylvester Stallone's mother, who incidentally is going to be on Dancing with the Stars, so you're getting a scoop on that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, it's a pleasure to have her join us as well, listening in on the show. When you look at some of the other celebrities, I mean, I know that she believes in reincarnation, past lives, things like that. And Shirley MacLaine, does she weigh in much on the alien side of it? Does she believe that that we are being visited?
Oh, she absolutely believes that we're being visited. And she's had experiences herself. I've talked to Shirley. I've been on a radio show. This is, you know, paramount in her life. She's very strongly believes in this. And she would, I would say, jump on a spaceship in a minute if one landed.
Very cool. All right, let's come back again. We'll cover it. And what's your website? So if people want to find more information about you and your work, how can they find you?
Yes, they can reach me at, my website is cosmicmajority.com, all one word, cosmicmajority.com. Or you can send me an email if you're a rock musician and have a story to tell at Nebula, N-E-B-U-L-A, 2002, at AOL.com.
And we've got links up to the article we just talked about regarding John Lennon's death, also a link to our guest's website and more if you go to Coast to Coast AM and look at this evening's guest. Stay tuned. We've got more coming your way right here on Coast to Coast AM. Michael Luckman is director of the New York Center for Extraterrestrial Research and is the author of Alien Rock, The Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection. A New York-based public relations consultant, Luckman was the first investigator to expose television's infamous alien autopsy film as a hoax, announced the discovery of two new human-like faces on Mars photographed by NASA's global surveyor, and broke the story of a special initiative by billionaire philanthropist Lawrence Rockefeller to open the government's secret X files. Tonight, we've been talking about alien rock, rock and roll, and extraterrestrials. We talked about the king of rock. Now let's talk about the king of pop, Michael Jackson. Now, if there was anybody ever, Michael, I would think might have come from another planet, I'd have to throw Lady Gaga, David Bowie, and Michael Jackson as my three biggest picks. But let's talk about Michael Jackson and his fascination with UFOs.
Yeah, I would make Michael number one, even over before Lady Gaga and David Bowie. Michael, I met Michael about 5 years ago at a magic store, a big magic store called Abracadabra here in New York City. And he was totally wrapped in a reddish-orange garb, which covered, incidentally, not only his body, but his entire head. And then he wore dark glasses, sunglasses over that. So I don't know how the man could see. He did have on silver shoes. And I spoke to him for a while. He was... he told me that he had had a UFO experience when he was in his early 20s, that he saw a UFO or some very unusual lights, colored lights, from the cockpit of an airplane that was moving over, flying over Australia. I'm sorry, over Alaska. And so he had that experience, and it definitely made a big impression on him. He was a huge fan of... the movie E.T. did the children's album for E.T., and he was a huge fan. I mean, he watched, with his kids, he watched the movie E.T. Probably hundreds of times. And when he was in the hospital, even, when he got burned in the making of that commercial for Pepsi, he requested to watch videos, both Close Encounters of the Third Kind, as well as E.T. So he was really into this, and he told me that he wanted to build, at one time, he wanted to build a alien landing strip in the desert to welcome extraterrestrials to Earth and to film it. He had had a dream in which he saw an alien, and he got the idea to have a very high-tech landing site, landing strip built in the Nevada desert.
Fascinating stuff. Our guest talking about the alien and celebrity connection, especially in the world of rock and roll. Let's grab a quick call before the break. Wildcard, line one, Gary in Sacramento. You're on the air on Coast to Coast AM. What did you want to talk about?
Mike and Dave, what an honor.
Well, thank you very much.
Gentlemen, I was a musician in San Francisco in 67 through late 69, and I don't consider myself a rock star. I was a horn player, and a couple of half dozen times I got to sit in with the Dead and Jerry, and I got to play with the others. And I wonder at times if this alien energy or the universal conscious mind or the connection with the spiritual entity, power greater than ourselves, was coming through my horn. I recall one time I was working a gig with the Jefferson Airplane and Carlos Santana at a big ball, I stepped up for my solo, and I started to play, and all of a sudden I saw music notes, like reading music. I could also read music, and then I felt myself turning into that note. The last thing I remember, I was straight, I was sober. All I remember was that I had to anchor myself to the planet Earth, and all I could do was concentrate on the microphone stand. And later on, and now there's a lot of discussion about those gigs, evidently, I'm not bragging, but I played very, very well. But could this alien energy... could those energies be an alien force or whatever that we all join in this universal conscious mind? And maybe these other beings really like music. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Gary. Well, I mean, I don't think it can be just brushed away when you look at it, right, Michael? I mean, the fact is audio tones, music would be an international language. As a sense, you know, to share this communication between the worlds, because people feel it and animals feel music, humans feel music. I mean, it's definitely something that it would seem would be expansive enough to collect it, you know, between us, humanity, and alien life forms.
Yeah, and of course, billions of people are affected by this music, and that's why I say at this particular time, what's interesting is how this battle was going on between light and dark forces, which I believe are extraterrestrial or interdimensional, perhaps spiritual, very, in fact, definitely spiritual. Michael Jackson couldn't read or write music, and neither could Paul McCartney, and yet they were able to write all this unbelievable stuff. There have been bands, they take it into the extreme. There have been bands that have performed, well-known bands, who perceive music that's coming out of their amplifiers, that's coming up, that's on stage, that they're not producing.
Unbelievable. Let's take a break. We've got John, Louise, and Tom on hold, and you can call in and be a part of the show with us this evening. We're also going to phone lines for the next couple of hours. Have you ever had an encounter with a UFO, with aliens? If you'd like to chat about it, tonight's the night, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, filling in for George Norrie. My name is Dave Schrader. Michael Luckman is our guest, and we've been talking with him about his book, Alien Rock, The Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection. And we're taking your phone calls for our guest. We've got wildcard line 2, John in Jessup, Maryland. Welcome to Coast. What was your question for our guest?
Well, good evening. Yes, my question concerns back in the late 1970s, there were a couple of space opera songs that I really enjoyed. One of them was Come Sail Away by Styx, and the other was the late Billy Thorpe's classic Children of the Sun. And my question for Michael is, how much influence does he think the extraterrestrials may have had on the writing of those songs, in particular with Billy Thorpe, since he's no longer with us to share that experience?
Well, you know, there's no way of knowing. The extraterrestrial, I'm not saying that the extraterrestrials have written, all of the songs or even necessarily most of the songs. However, the inspiration for their greatest songs often seems to come from what I call extraterrestrial or perhaps interdimensional forces. I can't say specifically who might have been responsible. What I will say is this. I think that the royalty checks might be written sometimes to the wrong people.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks a lot, John. Let's go to west of the Rockies, Louise in Colorado Springs. You're on Coast to Coast AM. What's your question for our guest?
Yes, Dave. My question to Michael. My question to Michael is, Michael, do you think a musician unconsciously develop psychic access to those dark forces? Thank you.
Well, I think that, you know, some people might be more prone to be open to certain things. Ozzy Osbourne just as much said that he pretty sure he knows who's behind it. And he didn't really quite want to say it, but he said it, and that is, it's satanic. Yeah, now, I'm not saying that about, I want to be very clear on this, I'm not saying that about rock and roll, because the Christian fundamentalists try to make all rock and roll evil. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that in the case of many of the black metal, the heavy metal, death metal, black metal groups, that is exactly what's happening.
All right, let's go to wildcard line 3. We've got Tom in Los Angeles. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Yeah, nice to talk with you. I have a comment I wanted to make regarding the John Lennon situation. You know, here's a guy that spoke against the military-industrial complex. It was making billions of dollars off the Vietnam War at the time, and who can influence millions of people. And I think it's more realistic to believe that he was targeted possibly for assassination and taken out by the powers that be because, you know, just because of his anti-war stance, anti-Vietnam War stance, give peace a chance. You know, Richard Helms, a former CIA director, sent a memo to the Warren Commission after the Kennedy assassination stating that radiobiological communication was possible and that Lee Harvey Oswald could have been a mind-controlled assassin from the Russians. This was, something that Richard Helms, director of the CIA, sent back in the early 60s, okay? Dr. Jose Delgado was stopping a charging bull with chips in the head of the bull by pressing a radio frequency button on a box and stopping the bull. That was in the 60s. You can watch it on YouTube. Dr. Ross Addy was stopping, making people move like robots with chips in them via radio frequency control. Project Pandora, the CIA, cataloged all the different frequencies that can manipulate different parts of our mind. This is in the 60s and 70s, okay? Now, you know, you fast forward to today's date, where DARPA wants to put chips in the military's brain. They want to take control of us, take away the control that we have over our own automobiles, and let automobiles run themselves and try have us trust computers. You know, we're entering a very dark stage in history, and it's called cybernetics. And this is the most dangerous enemy of man, I personally believe, is cybernetics. And nobody has any idea how evil and how treacherous this is going to be for mankind. I do, because I've been looking into this for quite a while. I've had my life threatened even. You know, people are targeted with gang stalking contracts. They're targeted by the CIA and mafia organizations. They're discredited. They can, you know, General John Jumper, former chief of staff of the U.S. Air Force, said, we have microwave weapons to make people see and hear things that don't even exist. And the psychiatric profession needs to open their eyes and ears up and hear what I'm saying. When you have military personnel talking about weapons they have to discredit people in this way, not everybody that comes to you saying they're hearing things or seeing, not all of them are mentally ill. There might be some of them targeted by the government for discreditation. And when you have General John Jumper saying this with the U.S. former chief of staff of the U.S. Air Force, you have Lieutenant Colonel Timothy Thomas saying this in the military paper, the mind has no firewall, where the ears can be compromised, you know, Aaron Alexis complained about hearing humming and buzzing in his ears at night, keeping him awake at night. He was being harassed.
Domestic terrorism. I mean, we've been hearing stories of this possibly going on, people showing strange burns and marks and people in an entire community going through these situations. Certainly there is something to be said for that. And could that be what is involved? Thank you very much for calling. And do you believe that that is alien technology, Michael, that they're using and employing on us because this is what the aliens have done to us for many years?
Well, I don't know whether it's right to call it alien technology, but yeah, I think that probably some of that is undoubtedly going on. However, my gut instinct on Mark David Chapman is that he, in fact, was hearing, communication or voices from some dark non-human entity, and that's what led to the murder of John Lennon. By the way. Before we go any further, I just wanted to mention that George Norrie is going to be a keynote speaker at the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference that's coming up this summer, August 8th through the 11th. He'll be there together with Eric Van Daniken and a stellar cast of UFO people. It's probably by far the most significant UFO conference that's been held. I'm a consultant to the conference. It's called Contact in the Desert, and if anyone's interested in attending, and you certainly should get tickets in advance, my suggestion, you can go to contactinthedesert.com, or you can phone for further information, 760-365-8371. That's 760-365-8371.
Let's go to first-time caller line Mark in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Welcome to Coast. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I had a question about a song that came out in 1978 by the Carpenters called Calling Occupants of Dinner Planet Dairy Craft.
Yeah.
what can you tell me about that song and what that was all about?
I can tell you it's one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life. that is a bizarre song. Do you know any correlation with the Carpenters? Did they? I mean, I wouldn't consider them to be on the forefront of ufology, but you're the guy to ask, Michael. What do you know about that?
Well,
song?
I don't know of any, you know, UFO connection other than the song lyrics themselves. And the song lyrics themselves have been appropriated, of course, by UFO people because of the message. And but I don't know that they've ever had any experiences.
All right, thanks a lot for calling in. Boy, that is a bizarre song. Let's go east of the Rockies. Jack in Ithaca, New York. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. What did you want to ask?
Hey, guys. You know, Ithaca is one of the top, most enlightened cities in the United States, home of Cornell University. I just wanted to ask a couple questions and make a comment.
Sure.
About the creativity, where it's all coming from. Number one, Mike, you sort of addressed this in the time that I was waiting to talk to you about how you, other than the UFOs showing up at these venues, you know, what your connection, other than it being not being a spiritual experience, you know, why it was, couldn't be the forces of good and evil. They're always in juxtaposition, like the yin and the yang, you know, affecting people. And I was catching a show, Hannity, I believe. Where did I do in my notebook? This young lady sang a song. It's called Let Freedom Ring. And she said she didn't know where she got the creative influences to sing it. Her name was Abby Anderson. She was on the Glenn Beck feature on her show. And this girl was singing like it was angelic. When I heard it, I couldn't believe the song and the lyrics to the song. And it was just so much about where we are with America today. And also, you want to talk about influences on our senses. I was watching Whale Wars a couple of years ago, and the Americans were trying to stop the Japanese from illegally whaling. And the Japanese pulled out that, like a microwave dish or whatever, and were trying to affect the crew's hearing. And I think the captain actually finally got shot, because I don't know if that technology was working for the Japanese at that time. But those were just the comments that I wanted to bring up tonight.
Great. Thank you for chiming in. Let's grab wild card line 4. Paul in Columbus, Ohio. You'll be our last caller in this hour. What's your question for our guest?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, my question is, if it's possible these interdimensional or extraterrestrial beings are affecting our musicians, maybe perhaps even our artists and stuff, is it possible they're trying to push their own agenda? Like, Believe or Imagine by John Lennon, or Give Peace a Chance, things like that. Is that possible?
Well, I do think that they have an agenda. And as I say, you know, what I believe is happening is nothing less than a battle for the control of the world's minds. And they're using music as a vehicle, and it's a great vehicle to reach people. And it falls, you know, the energy falls on both sides, on the side of light and the side of dark. And it's classic. And I think that's the type of a battle that's being waged out in, you know, waged in the entire universe to some degree. And it's happening here. And I think it's happening with increased frequency because of where Earth happens to be right now in its development. And I really do believe that we're in the, you know, what's been referred to as the end times. And proof of that is what's going on with the meteors. And God forbid, if a meteor of any size hits, it could take out an entire city. And the fallout from it would be unbelievable as far as the economic fallout, the psychological impact, in every way. But so that's what I think is happening right now. And I think it's one of the reasons that we're seeing so many UFOs at rock concerts and other concerts.
Michael Luckman, our guest this evening, Alien Rock, the Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection, our topic. What do you think? Are our musicians and artists being influenced by aliens? Have you ever encountered a UFO or an alien?